Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Oh, Joshua, where you at, man?
William, I am here. It's good to see you. Not too much. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Sorry about the technical delay here we had to start the show. Listen, the Raptors are undefeated in the playoffs so far this season, and we're going to talk plenty about the Raptors-Nets game one, and we're going to do, you know, let's just talk about the game. But actually, first, there's a pretty important subject that we wanted to touch on just at the start of the show, and I think, Josh, you were the one who came up with the idea to bring Emma on to the show, and to discuss the Adrian Griffin situation, which I think you and I are both in agreement that, you know, we're both pretty disappointed with the Raptors' handling of this whole situation. Why don't you introduce our caller?
Yeah. Some Raptors fans may be familiar with Emma Healy, I believe a writer from Toronto. She published a thread over the weekend that resonated with my thoughts on it that, you know, like Will mentioned, both of us were disappointed with the way the organization responded. The details of what went on don't really matter so much to me right now. But with that, Emma, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Of course, we're really glad that you responded to my DM and agreed to chat with us. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I hate to come on the. I hate to start with such a bummer topic. I hate to be the person who's like bringing down the show before the show even starts. But I do appreciate that you guys want to talk about this because I do think it is important to talk about.
Yeah. I guess before we start, Will, do you want to sort of recap some of the details for, I know we're a week late to the story and everybody's up to speed, but if you wanted to just sort of go over those details.
Yeah, sure. So it seems
like... Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
You go.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was just going to lay the groundwork a little bit. There are allegations out there over Raptors assistant coach Adrian Griffin made by his ex-partner with some very heinous details, I don't even want to go through all of it. A lot of it needs a trigger warning, to be honest. And yeah, so, you know, the Raptors have since responded to it. They had a statement from Adrian Griffin, which read, "This morning, accusations were made against me on social media by his former wife, which he vehemently denies. And he goes on to state that it's a legal dispute over alimony and child support arrangements." This is from the statement from Adrian Griffin. And then the Raptors' statement was that they saw the allegations and that their leadership team spoke with Adrian, and Adrian denied the allegations. And the Raptors will, quote, support the process as he and his former partner settle these matters. Now, this has been sort of complicated because, you know, they have kids and their kids have social media, and the social media platforms they have since come out and sided in favor of Adrian. But yeah, it's a messy situation. And I think, you know, for me, I think I'm just a little bit disappointed that the Raptors didn't actually address how serious these things are, right? Even if the Raptors, you know, choose to stand behind Adrian based on whatever research or sort of investigation they've done, they could at least in the minimum just address how serious these things are and sort of discuss how they're handling it with the severity that I think the situation demands. And I think that part was missing, but Emma, what were your thoughts when you saw this sort of play out first over social media and then when the Raptors responded?
Yeah. I think I agree with you completely that I felt incredibly disappointed I felt disappointed first of all with the thing that compelled me to write that Twitter thread in the first place was Nick Nurse's statement that he made about it, where, you know, he said that we stand with him, basically. And then with the organization's statement about it, I think there's, you know, there's so many different levels to it, right? Because there's the thing that's happening on the level of the team, and then there's the thing that's happening on the broader, you know, level. It makes you think about the way that the NBA, like, as a organization and as like a corporate structure, you know, has handled these things in the past and continues to handle them. And so it's just like, I don't know. I felt really disappointed because I think I want more from the Raptors and I want better from them. And I don't know. I think that given just like the, I don't know. It's just like, it's hard to watch these games and to feel excited about them and to feel, you know, like completely uncomplicated about this organization, given the way that that response is, because it's not, I don't think that the details of the case, you know, even matter necessarily when it comes to this conversation. But I think that the response by the organization, which was like very, it didn't acknowledge any of the details of what's happening, which, as you say, are like very, very, very serious. And it seemed to sort of brush them aside and to be focused on sort of like just eliding it and making it seem like, you know, it's being handled by someone else, so why do we have to talk about it? Like, I don't know. It just seemed, it felt really disappointing and inadequate to me.
I completely agree. And before we got on this call, me and Will were talking about it, and it made the like player introductions yesterday make me very angry. Seeing the organization again portray itself as being, you know, very family oriented and very family friendly, with this going on, not even in the background, like it's still very close to top of mind for me, and it just felt like ridiculous that. An organization that, you know, this is the same organization that put pictures of everyone's family in their hotels and rooms when they arrived in Orlando, has these mm-hmm. player announcements with the relatives of all of the starting five to so easily pass over the very significant allegations made by Audrey Griffin. Felt like it made me feel like I was going crazy, because how can an organization that so easily aligns itself with being filled with employees who care deeply about their families sort of blow past this very serious situation? I don't know. It's the part that's making, you know, this, and there are lots of reasons that watching the NBA is difficult to watch, because there are problems in the world that aren't solved by putting a slogan on the back of your jersey. But this one is, it's really bummed me out. It made me angry.
No, I agree with you. And I think that there's something about it. Like I think that we've all had to endure like, and sort of assimilate and absorb a lot of like cognitive dissonance in order to watch this season and enjoy it, you know, like to sort of like allow yourself to fall into it completely. Like, I think that every fan has probably been on like their own personal journey with like trying to square the fact that like the season is still happening, trying to square the fact that the season is still happening, like in the midst of, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement and in the midst of the pandemic. Like, all of these things are already like, you know, you have to do a certain amount of mental gymnastics and like get comfortable with it. And it's, you know, I feel like this for me has been something that I have not been able to just assimilate. But that is also, I gotta say, that's different from like, I don't know, like when you think about the way that the NBA historically has handled these types of allegations. Like, I was just reading the other day, there was a Sports Illustrated article from like the end of July about the Mavs mishandling of a different, like a new assault allegation against one of their executives.
Well, we're playing against Rodion Carus right now. Like, it doesn't end.
Yes. Yeah. And you change the channel and there's Kristaps Porzingis. Like, I honestly feel as though I'm going crazy. I was really getting upset last night because I was watching it and I was like, there's literally no basketball that I can watch right now without this issue being like front and center. And I don't I think that I'm the same as a lot of other Raptors fans in that, or basketball fans in general, in that I don't want to be thinking about this stuff while I'm watching the games. I would like to be able to just be, you know, caring about the game and the things that, you know, I actually love about it. But it's really impossible to not think about this stuff at this point. It's like, it's literally, even if you want to ignore it, it's impossible to ignore it, I think.
Yeah. I agree. It's going to be tough. Hopefully the Raptors organization continues to be forthcoming with how they're dealing with the situation, because it's not going to go away. One thing that's great about Raptors fans and the sort of online fan community is they're relentless about every detail. It's, you know, if it's a net player talking sideways to OG to Terrence Davis, a situation as serious as this one, the Raptors organization won't hear the end of it. Mm-hmm. But with that, Emma, I think we're going to say goodbye for now and, recap some of the Nets with Raptors fans and carry on with the show. But thank you so much for calling. I'm sure we won't be the last time we hear from you. But if you have anything you wanted to plug, I know that you are a writer. If you wanted to share that, now's a great opportunity.
Okay. I don't have anything in particular right now. If you go to my website, emmahealy.com, you can see some basketball writing that I've done in the past. It's not really, I mean, it's a bit of a weird thing right now, but I wrote an essay that I was really proud of about the halftime show, which now obviously isn't a thing, but if you'd like to remember some of the greatest NBA halftime shows,
why aren't they in the bubble? That's a really good point. Why is it right?
I honestly have been thinking about it all the time. I've been thinking about how nice it would be. And then we could maybe even show it on TV for the first time. I feel like we'd all appreciate a little shot of
why is Red Panda right now. You're 100% right. Will, have you thought about this
yet? Imagine if there were like a socially distant dance crew or something.
Nice. Admittedly, I have not thought about this. During halftime is usually when I go to make dinner. Raptors Nets was probably the first playoff game I spent about half an hour making fried rice, and I just caught up on the third quarter because I was that bored with the games. So, yeah. But I have not
thought
about
this. Well, maybe if there was a halftime show, you would have stayed in front of the television.
If Red Panda, first off, Red Panda could totally be in the bubble. I will watch Red Panda every single time. If she was just kicking bowls out of her head, I'm not making fried rice anymore. I'm watching Red Panda, so.
But why didn't this already happen? It seems obvious. Like, it's just Red Panda. You don't need everybody else. I'm sure there are lots of great
performers.
She's
going to be exhausted, man. No, she's going to need Alex Pateknik to heal her leg.
Like. I know. What about the chair stacking guy? You could just alternate between her and the chair stacking guy every night. Mm. I feel like that's another good, like, solid one person. It doesn't require, like, a lot of different people. It's a pandemic-friendly halftime show.
Or Christian Stoinev, the guy, the Canadian. I don't know if he's Canadian.
Oh, yeah.
He's a Raptor fan.
Yeah.
A nice dude, too, but the guy
tiny
with the little tiny dog, and they do acrobatics.
Yeah, the little dog.
Yeah.
All of them in the bubble. As soon as the Philadelphia 76ers get kicked out of the bubble on Saturday.
we'll replace them with halftime ass?
Yeah.
No, that'd be hilarious. I would get more entertainment from them than
excellent.
The Sixers currently. So. All right, Emma. Thanks for calling in. Really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks so much. Thank you.
Peace.
Bye.
Bye.
I know people are gonna, I think some people have a hard time hearing it just because people just don't want to think about it, and I kind of get that, but you do have to acknowledge that, like, it seemed like the bare minimum the Raptors were doing, you know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying.
At least say there's an investigation, you know, at least say, you know, like, whatever. I mean, even if you couldn't get to all the facts because it is sort of a civil matter that, like, you know, it's hard to get to the bottom of it, whatever, but just treat it with like a little bit more gravity than just, we talked to Adrian, he says it's all good. Like,
at least show that you care about the families of these people. Like, you want the rest of us to believe. Anywho.
Raptors Nets. What a transition. By the way, people, please call in. Our number is above 289-778-0918. Please call in. We are not based in Hamilton, despite the number. We are in Toronto still, in our homes, and we're ready to talk about game one where the Raptors. Where to start, Josh? I mean, were you stressed? Were you stressed in the third quarter there when the Raptors had the lead, you know, down from 33 points to 8 points? Were you stressed? Be honest.
No. So, like, good. You, in good. The middle of the good. Second quarter, good. I went and made dinner. A very delicious supper, if I do say so myself. I made like a sort of Vietnamese noodle bowl with some grilled steak.
Okay.
It's really tasty.
Nice.
I mean, I came back and it was like 12. I'm like, oh, what happened? Mm-hmm. And then my partner said, like, I don't know. I've just the net kept scoring. And then I looked at the box score. Seemed like Mark sat down and the Rondé surge minutes still don't work very well. I don't know. The Nets are going to be a team that that'll shoot a lot of threes and maybe win a game in the series because of it, mm-hmm. because they can get back into games very quickly. But I don't. Were you stressed out?
No, not at all, man. Maybe part of it was because I was eating fried rice and just having a good time. But I was just like fast forwarding. I was like, oh, this is cute. Because like, you know what it is? When you're up 30, you're always going to allow a comeback, especially in the playoffs, right? Even it may be in the regular season. A team like, I don't know, Indiana, who lost by 46 to the Raptors this year, they might just say, you know, screw it. We're in Toronto. We went out last night. We're tired. We don't have it tonight. We're just going to hold this L. Right? In the playoffs, at least you're in the bubble. You're obviously not tired. You got to do something. You're going to play hard. And it's natural when you're up 33 to, like, you know, put your foot off the gas pedal a little bit. And I think the Raptors just needed a little bit of time to sort of just get right because, A, basketball is a game of runs. B, nowadays with the three-point era, like, everyone, especially because teams are playing so fast, that even though, I mean, we saw it with the 30-point comeback. Like, it's very doable in the three-point era because, A, teams are taking higher variant shots, and also teams are playing faster, so there's more possessions. And that includes the team with the lead, too. So they're almost opening door for comebacks. And then also, you know, I just knew that when the Raptors put their better guys in, they're going to regain control of the game. I thought, you know, hopefully the bench could step up and do it. And I thought, you know, even guys like Terrence Davis, Serge Ibaka, OG,
Serge
those guys
really, really well.
Yeah, in the fourth quarter, those guys just asserted control, and the starters weren't even necessarily needed. I mean, even Mark didn't even come back into the game, and the Raptors were just totally fine. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I think the other point is, like, Jacques Vaughn is a great coach. I'm really quite impressed with – he responded to the action the Raptors were showing early, and he got his team scoring points again.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe that everyone in Brooklyn is so willing to pass over him. But with that, we have a fan favorite called into the show. Our producer Ashley usually writes the topic somebody wants to call in about. In this case, she just wrote exclamation marks. We have Vitaly from Moscow back on the air. Vitaly, my guy.
How are you? As my good friend Bryson Tiller would say, I'm back and I'm better, you know? I'm back I am better. How are you doing, guys? It's been a minute.
It has been a minute, man. What's going on? I mean, we're good. We're in Toronto. We're just chilling. We haven't talked.
You guys are safe, family
okay, still employed, thankfully. You know, thank you, Dan Tolman. Thank you, the Raptors, for being great. We're feeling great, man. Vitaly, what's going on with you? Catch us up in the last, like, 5 months. Maybe just, you know, I don't want to guess what you've been doing, but what have you been doing?
It's been a whirl. I was actually in the States at some point.
Oh.
I was in the autonomous zone of Chaz. So, you know, just some organizational things.
Uh-huh.
No, I'm joke, of course. I didn't leave Mother Russia. Believe it or not, such a tragic time, but kind of blessing in disguise because one of my big business interests is in hand sanitation. So it's been busy. It's been crazy. But
booming.
Everyone's safe. Yeah. Family is good.
Glad to hear it.
Especially in the beginning there, people started to go off. But, it's been 5 months, I think it was March.
Yep.
Yeah.
Been a long time. And Will, you've made so much content over, you know, I had some time to kill. You guys killing it with Run It Back, with the podcast, good interviews. So great job by you, man. Excellent work.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Anything to honestly anything for just fellow Raptor fans, but for me, I was just, you know, I was bored too. I wanted to make that content just to fill my own time because it was like hours in the day. All right, so we have Raptors back now. Raptors game one against the Nets. What do you think of this series, Raptors Nets? It so far, you know, it looks a little lopsided.
Man, it was so typical. Raptors were up by over 30, then we give up like a 25-point run. Mm-hmm. You know the game one curse. Although we've won some, typically, you know, I'm ready to lose it. But I saw you tweet about championship confidence, no stress.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, ever since the Nick Nurse era, just no stress. Not a worry in the world. You know, this obviously Brooklyn team is very undermatched, lots of injuries, and like Josh said, coaching was good. Caris LeVert, kid's a stud. So credit to them. They played hard, but I think hopefully we get our first ever franchise sweep in history. It's looking like that might be the move. I think yes.
It's
I called Raps in four. I don't really see. I like Caris LeVert. He's a solid player. He will at best be the third option on that team next year. He's solid, but half the rotation.
They need like a 45-point Joe. They need like Joe Harris to drop 50. You know, they need one of those.
Yeah,
they just like need a typical Raptors. Like a. They need their DJ Augustine. You know what I mean? And by the way, I saw was last week maybe was the first episode back. I saw it on YouTube and I appreciate. I saw a couple comments. Where's Vitaly? So thank you guys. It's a pleasure that you like when I call in.
No, we got to send you some KFC buckets just on the show on behalf of the show. You've really helped out, man. I mean it's. I don't know. It's a weird series because, you know, on one hand, it's really relaxing, you know, but at the same time, I also do – I miss having a little bit of Raptor stress. I guess we can wait till the second round for it. But, by the way, did you see Chris Middleton against the Raptors? I know he's a previous Vitaly Big Fraud of the Week award recipient. Did you see him try to dribble against Matt Thomas and be unable to do so?
You know, Matt Thomas is my guy, man. You know, Chris Middleton, I like to call him a Costco Travis Outlaw. You know how it is.
He's, oh, man.
We didn't know they had Costco out there. 50-40-90. Uh-huh. Well, like I said, been to Canada, so we know how it is. I do have a big trot of the week, not Raptors related, but definitely very bubble relevant. Mm-hmm. My boy Kristaps, shout out Latvia, Riga in the city, you know how it is. Man, that injection was disgusting. It was
terrible.
It was like, my stomach hurt after. It's like, you know, great competitive game. It's come on, they're playing, they're having a good time. With even Morris, Doc Rivers, Kawhi, they're like, what are you doing? I don't know who that ref was, but... I don't want him calling any Serge Ibaka games because he'll breathe the wrong way. He'll kick him out with Serge Ibaka. So, do you guys know which ref that was?
I don't know exactly, but it was disappointing. I mean, I didn't think either the technicals were good on Porzingis, and I think for a star player, I mean, you got to have a higher standard for how to throw a guy out. Like, okay, whatever. If Patrick Beverley did that, yeah, throw him out. I don't want to see Patrick Beverley in the first place. But like Kristaps Porzingis, he's been playing amazing for the Mavs. So that was disappointing. And honestly, it was fun watching Luka too. It's really funny because you know Luka's closest comparison is James Harden, and Luka had what 11 turnovers. So you know, very Harden-esque in every aspect.
Well, you know, I would say I think the comparison is reasonable, but. Harden, he gets a lot of the cheap assists. You know, it's like...
Oh, my goodness.
He can pass,
oh, my God.
He can pass the ball, but the assists are cheap. They're you know, you can't compare.
Between the legs.
Shout out Bill Simmons. Great
you know pick. What I mean? Between the leg pass, that's just cheap right there.
That's just cheap.
Bill, come on, buddy.
I know a lot of people hate the way James Harden plays the game, which I can see the way that he has tactics. But for ability, James Harden is...
Come on, man.
Like, one of the most skilled players in the, like, that the league has ever seen. Mm-hmm. It's crazy the stuff he can do.
He's arguably like one of the most skilled offensive players in NBA history.
Yeah.
He just doesn't, he likes to break the game in his favor, and it's, you know, I don't really see the problem with
that. Yeah, let me ask you guys a quick one. We got a couple of coaching vacancies, right? Recent firings. Where was it? There are a couple teams. New Orleans, right? Who's the other one?
Who else got fired recently? I mean, New York's filled now, right?
Chicago.
Yeah, on Monday.
So who do you think of the available – who do you think maybe the – because I heard – maybe Jason Kidd or T. Lou. Jason Kidd out of the question, but Who do you guys think is like the most the hottest prospect of potential coaching candidates right now? Who do you have your eye on?
I mean, first off, I don't know why people keep saying Jason Kidd. Maybe he has like really good representation or something. He must have like, he must be like CAA or something, because his name just keeps coming up, and I'm like, Jason Kidd did not do well as a coach in Brooklyn or in Milwaukee. And he sabotaged Brooklyn in the first place. Yeah, he literally broke Giannis's arms into shooting threes like that. So I don't know why Jason Kidd keeps coming up. I actually think Ty Lue should get a second chance. I think he did decently well with Cleveland. You know, I don't know. I just think he should get a second chance. I actually don't mind him as a coach. I think with all these things, is just like, just get some new coaches in there, right? If you look at Toronto, for example, or even look at Boston, right? We like to make fun of Brad Stevens, but Boston was like, look, we're going to go the college route. There's this guy coaching Butler. He's been really great. We're going to give him a chance. And it worked out really well. And you look at the Raptors, they were like, look, there's this guy, Nick Nurse. He's been coaching in Birmingham. He coached literally against Masai Ujiri as a player, which I always think is a hilarious story. And then they're like, you know what? We have this vacancy. He's been here this whole time. Let's give him a shot, right? Like, just give some newer guys a shot. Like, we recycle coaches a little too much, man. Like, do we really need to give Jeff Van Gundy another head coaching job? Like, no, let's just keep him on the air. He's fine.
I like him more and more the older I get.
I don't mind him off the air, to be honest. Wisconsin.
What'd you say? Josh?
Chase Buford, he's the head coach of the Wisconsin G League team. I think he's the guy that, I don't know why his name's not in touch every job.
This is a deep hole, man.
Well, he's just good.
Yeah, watching Wisconsin Herd games? What's going on, man?
They have this huge jump last year.
Josh, you've been spending time with Blake Murphy, I see.
There wasn't a lot of basketball. After the Last Dance, what did you guys do?
I bought a Switch. That's what I did.
Yeah, I probably watched The Last Dance like 6 times, man. Nick Nurse, did you guys see that he did a little interview the day that he wasn't coaching? Was he a little saucy, you think? Did you see that interview?
I did. I mean, you know,
he maybe visited Dion Waiters' room before the game, or I don't know. he was extra lax, man. He was like 10-day vacation. He was feeling himself.
Look, listen, people need a day off. You know, Nick, you know, Nick's been hanging out with Phil Jackson. You know what I mean? Like, listen, if we're going to have Nick Nurse as the next Phil Jackson, we need that comparison all the way, baby. So
you think he had turned on the Grateful Dead?
I love that.
Was vibing.
Oh, listen, bro, this man plays guitar every single day. I mean, you know, I think there's some crossover there. But Vitaly, bro, thanks for calling in, man. We miss you, buddy. We hope you're staying well. Good luck with your hand sanitation business.
Pleasure, guys.
And
always, man, a pleasure. So next Tuesday you'll be on, yeah?
Next Monday. Next Monday, right? We're going to go after after the series is done.
Have a good one, guys.
All right, peace.
Peace.
That's it.
Excellent stuff. Ashley, you can clip that one for YouTube.
No, she knows, bro. She knows.
She knows. Do we have questions from the chat that we should answer?
We do have questions, you know, but also we have some open lines, so please continue to call in. The first question, Kate tells us that Kane Fitzgerald was the referee fraud of the week. Super old name, man. Kane Fitzgerald seems like one of those, like, founding fathers.
That's who Citizen Kane's about.
Yeah, so.
This guy's life.
Exactly, so. Gonna be miserable for him. Yeah, I mean, that was a bad call. You don't throw out a star for that stuff, especially if it's against Marcus Morris, man. Like, I feel like with someone who's like mad annoying, like, you should just get extra leeway, you know what I mean? Like, you really
you
have
get
to
retext. No, if, like, your second text called on this player, you get another tech.
Like, you have to headbutt Pat Beverly to get a tech against Pat Beverly, because otherwise, like, it should be fair game, man. The guy's like bothering you the whole time.
I don't disagree. From Fatima, we have, I'm really concerned about Pascal, but it feels like the Raptors aren't. Are you concerned about Pascal's play so far, Will?
Yeah, I'm watching it for sure. And, you know, I think we're hoping for him to break out. I think Fred said it best. I mean, Fred was also just trying to defend his boy, for real. But he said, look, I'm tired of asking this Pascal question. We're 8-1 in the bubble. Like, let's, you know, basically tell people to relax. But at the same time, yeah, I mean, I think the next series, whoever the Raptors are playing, whether it's Sixers or Celtics, although it's looking very much like Celtics, you're going to need Pascal to do a lot of that one-on-one scoring. Right now, I'm more concerned is that his touch around the basket seems to have really dropped off. This is sort of a bigger issue that sort of happened all season, but, you know, against the physicality, which is something Nick pointed out, you know, Pascal struggling to play against physicality. Against that physicality, you know, Pascal, the touch around the rim is not like it was last year. Last year was, like, magical. The guy was making everything. Mm-hmm. Like, look at that game, I guess, title clinching play he had against Draymond Green in game six. The guy's Euro-stepping, Draymond's reaching across his body, like pretty much undercutting him, could totally be an and one. And Pascal's shooting a little running floater with literally the title on the line from, like, you know, 15 feet out, and he makes that. And I feel like those are the kind of shots he's not making. Like, I went back and watched his tape from game one where he shot 4 of 13. He had 9 free throws. That was great. But he shot 1 of 6 on layups.
Wow.
You know, and they're driving layups against, like, Joe Harris and, like, Luau Cabarro or, like, Garrett Temple. I think he'll make more of those shots. I really do. I choose to believe, because I know Pascal has touch, and I know Pascal's not a skilled offensive player, but right now those shots aren't going in for him. Even the perimeter jumpers, they're fine. Like, he's hitting enough threes and stuff like that, but he's just not getting a lot of good stuff in the paint, which is really weird. I don't know what else to think about that. So,
yeah, it's a I mean, I've never really been worried about seeing Pascal sort of fall off. I think while he is the number one option on the team, I think the game plans that Nick Nurse rolls out depend on a lot of different guys going off. And I don't think there's ever been a moment where we've really needed Pascal to step up, and he hasn't. Mm-hmm. Look at the end of that Memphis game. He's always just, he's done what he's needed to in these games. And yeah, they're 8-1 in the bubble. How much more do you really want?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we have a caller on the line.
All right.
His name is Will, calling from Hong Kong. Will, welcome to the show.
Hey, good afternoon, Josh. Will Wu, how's everybody doing today?
What's going on? This is my Cantonese double right here.
You know, it's nighttime right now, so calling in here. So shout out to Vitaly for blessing the show with his presence once again.
Yep.
Get to hear from them.
He's really the third host. Let's be real, you know. And Kate too, actually, the four right there.
That's
What's going on, man?
Sorry.
I was gonna say, what's going on, man? Do you watch Raptors Nets? What are you thinking right now?
First off, don't go chasing waterfalls. TLC. What a player.
Okay. Yeah, he's been really good, man. You can't miss. I don't know.
Like, no slander, no joke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pleasantly surprised. I looked at his I don't know, I guess in the bubble and pre-bubble. Like, he's doing all right. He's doing all right for himself. So, good on him. You know, Caris LeVert, nice player, but, like, let's be real. They're not going anywhere. Raptors sweeping. He's going to have to get into his Mike James bag, like, for them to even have a chance.
Oh, man. What bag is that? Is that?
And you know that's not going to be pretty. If Caris gets into his Mike James bag.
That Mike James bag is not really a bag. It's like one of those drawstring bags. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's not even a backpack.
It's the smallest Telfair.
Is it one of those, like, Rock-A-Wear drawstring bags?
Yeah, you know, like, you're only taking that to, like, play soccer, to put your cleats in, and, like, a ball, and you're going to the park 5 minutes away. Yeah. You don't care how you look. Oh. Like, that's the Mike James bag right there. It's a drawstring bag.
It's a point B situation. Okay, yeah. Either way, I mean, he's a nice player, because he's doing everything he can to carry the net.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? Yeah, I mean, only do that for so long at this point. But Fred, no, can't wait till he gets the bag, because he's getting the bag.
Oh yeah, that's a real bag.
Somebody's putting him money.
That's the big bag. That's the bag that makes. Yeah. That's like we have a like roster issue.
No, he's getting that Fall Raven bag. I don't know. I don't buy this stuff. Clearly, he's getting the SVP duffel bag. That's what he's getting. $20.
Facts.
Second floor.
Wow.
I wonder if do you think the Pistons are still in the running for the Fred VanVleet contract? Or I know the Raptors are going to give him a perfectly acceptable deal, but that was the team that we talked about in the yeah. winter, right?
Yeah, they're interested. Look, listen. I'm at the point where you just got to keep Fred at all costs, man. I don't care. Keep Fred. Do not let Fred go.
Yeah. So, is that the case? Like, I never fact check at all. I just But can the Raptors offer him the most money? Is that the case here for him?
Yeah. Most money, most term. We have his bird rights, full bird rights. He loves it here in Toronto.
Okay, bird rights too.
You know what I mean? So. But listen, take care of Fred, okay? Don't try to, do any sort of weird stuff with Fred. Yeah. Clearly, he's a piece for the future.
Yeah, no. So, basically, it is up to the Raptors, and it's to offer the most money, whatever term, and that's it. Because at this point, I just see him for the bag. Like, whoever's offering the most money, I'm coming to you. And I don't blame him for that.
No.
I mean, over the weekend, the Raptors have put out some advertisements on their Raptors YouTube page. I don't know how many people go on there, but among those advertisements, we're talking about Jif peanut butter, and he was lathering up peanut butter on some crackers. And then I saw another alert on my phone. Fred VanVleet was in in a tent doing ASMR for Canadian Tire.
Yeah, so, that one, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? The bag's coming, man. Listen, he's not going to have to do these commercials that much. He's not going to have to eat Oswald's anymore, man.
You think Fred VanVleet's going to re-record the audio-visual 2001 jingle? Do you think that's it next for him?
No, no, man. Damn. No, Fred's only eating KFC from here on in, all right?
And Pascal, too. I don't know. Feels like he's getting a little bit of hate here. Not here, but I'm just saying, just generally speaking.
Yeah.
Right? But I don't know. He has a nice 20-point score, I would say. Is he going to be a 30-point score? Hell no. Ever. No, it's not happening. But he's a nice player, but, keep in mind, too. Again, never fact-check on that theme, but I don't know how many years he's been playing basketball, but it has not been that long. But keep that in mind, too. Perspective. Yeah.
Right? No, I agree with you, man.
He's the man on the raft. Other teams are game planning for him.
Yep.
Right? And he's a big focus, and he's got to adjust. He's got to learn. And this is, I don't know, this is all part of the process, right?
You got to give him time, baby. You got to give him time. You got to give him some space. Honestly, I if he was missing purely jumpers, then I'd be like, okay, it's a little bit more of a concern. The fact that he's missing layups and stuff, I'm like, he'll get it back, man. That's a rhythm thing. So.
Yeah, also, this was always supposed to be a transition year, and now we're like, can Pascal Siakam win Finals MVP? Allow it.
Listen, he scored 26 points. Yeah, he averaged 20 points and 10 rebounds against Draymond Green in the NBA Finals and had the series-clinching basket. Can we please just remember some of these things that happened very freaking recently that were very memorable, okay? Please, okay? Just relax.
Let's remember that, too. Yeah, just perspective, I think. Mm-hmm. That's at the top of mind, right? And those are some of the thoughts that I've got. And somebody just mentioned Fred's N1 shoe deal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's when you get the bag, that's got to change, man. Sorry, N1, but
I like them. I've liked some of the stuff that he's been wearing, but that's just me. Mm.
Well, before you go, man, I got a question for you. What are you doing now that Stephen LeBron Radio is through 100 episodes? What's going on? Are you pouring one out? What's happening?
Yo, I'm going back to episodes. I'm going to the back episodes, man. That episode with yourself, John Ng, Stephen LeBron.
Oh yeah.
Yo, that was insane.
Asian parenting.
That was insane.
Yeah, it was Asian parenting.
And then the other one with the Slander God, the accounting podcast. I'm not an accountant. but I know people that are. Yeah, that had me in tears, though. Tears of laughter.
Yes, definitely.
Gonna keep bugging Stephen LeBron to get back to the pod, but it's not happening. I know that.
Yeah, he's writing his book, man. So, all right, Will, thanks so much for calling in, man. I appreciate you, all your support, and everything like that. And we'll chat soon, all right?
Yeah, much appreciated. Thank you very much, Will. Thank you very much, Josh. Take care, guys.
All right, be good.
Peace.
We have a message on the YouTube chat that we cannot ignore any longer. I've received text messages from people I know who are watching the live stream who want us to wish Jacqueline a very happy birthday. today is Jacqueline's birthday. We have from her boyfriend, Simon. She would love a shout out from you guys. She watches all the Raptors related shows on Yahoo Sports and thinks it would make her day. So William, do you want to sing happy birthday?
Okay. Juni Shangri Kwaila. Juni Shangri Kwaila. Okay, that's the Chinese version.
All right. Yeah, happy birthday, Jacqueline.
Thanks for supporting everything. Congratulations on another birthday. I don't know. Just thanks and have a good day. Honestly, it looks like a beautiful day today.
You remember you watched Breakfast Television growing up?
No, but okay.
You didn't watch Breakfast Television on like CP24?
This is what happened in my house when I was growing up. Okay, briefly, when we had cable, my grandparents would have it locked on channel 23, which, as you would know, in the basic Rogers package was the weather channel, and they would just wait and watch every 10 minutes for updates on the weather for like 4 hours. So I watched that growing up. I don't know about you, Ben. But
my brother is works at Rogers now, so we were, you know, from long time, a big, you know, Rogers Media Corporation family.
Yeah, you're just a big Rogers fans. Okay.
Big Rogers, CP24
big fans of the Ted Rogers statue. Okay.
I remember my sister was on Breakfast Television. I want to say like 1999. Mm-hmm. She went to ESA and they do their like graduation fashion show. So mm-hmm. they're like grade 12 students. When they do fashion, they like present on Breakfast Television. I'm not sure if they still do it, but she was on there 1 year. A lot of memories. Lot of memories. Anyway.
What a nice memory to recall, man. And shout out ESA, at Etobicoke institution.
Shout out to, Etobicoke in general. It's the world's greatest place.
Yeah, listen. it's unfortunate that I would say half our restaurants are Pizza Pizza and Tim Hortons, but, we just need more KFCS out there. All right, we have another caller on the line. It's Kurt from Toronto, wants to talk about Raptors Celtics. Wow, already looking to the second round. Kurt, what's going on? You worried?
My question is that the best way to beat the Bucks, in my opinion, is mid-range game, right? That's why DeMar DeRozan really goes off at the Bucks.
Okay.
So I think the best chance to defeat the Bucks and have a chance of getting Giannis is having the Celtics or Heat beat the Bucks, right? And we've seen the Heat beat the Bucks because of their mid-range game. And I think the Raptors don't really have a mid-range game. So I think would it be better if the Raptors would lose to the Boston Celtics and then let them try to beat the Bucks so that if Giannis sees that he can't make it to the finals at the Bucks, then he can come to Toronto.
All right, big multi-part question. I do think the Raptors have enough of a mid-range game to beat the Bucks, but that we can get to. Is that the first part of the question? Will, I'm confused now.
He's talking about obviously you need a lot of shooting, especially in the middle of the floor. Obviously not even just necessarily mid-range, but just like, you know, top of the floor three-point shooting. I think Raptors have top of the floor three-point shooting. Maybe mid-range shooting is not a strength of the team. I mean, Kyle can do it, but aside from that, you know, Fred's not really a good mid-range shooter right now. And Pascal,
Serge Ibaka has been pretty good.
Matt Thomas too. I mean, but you know, when we're talking about Matt Thomas as quickly, then you know that is a little bit scary for me. But I think the larger question of like, to the Raptors, you know, lose to the Celtics so that the Raptors can have the Celtics beat Giannis, and then the Giannis comes to Toronto. Like, I love Giannis, man. It's cool, but like, I need to beat the Celtics. And Giannis, bro, you know, if you want to come to Toronto because you see it as a great organization, then do it. But I don't. We don't need to like, you know, I don't know, man. It doesn't need to be like a Draymond Green level like pursuit for Kevin Durant, that kind of stuff. I don't like being that thirsty, to be honest. Like, I'd rather the organization try to win, especially against the Celtics.
Yeah.
And then take your best shot against the Bucks. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know,
man. Yeah. Giannis is cool, man. But listen, you know, Giannis is still a pipe dream, right? It's not like Giannis has said, "I'm going to come to Toronto in 2 years, keep a plate for me, whatever." Like, he did not say that.
Yeah, Giannis having said like, when this doesn't work out, you know, I'm coming.
Yeah.
We're not Giannis' side chick. Like, it's doesn't work that way.
Come on, man. No, listen. All right.
Kurt, thanks for the call. Have a cool one.
Appreciate it, man.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
I don't know, man. It's weird. I mean, the Raptors are really successful. I understand. I get it. Giannis is very important. He's the MVP, you know, defensive player of the year, stuff like that. But Come on, man.
The only thing, if Giannis goes to the Heat, I'll be upset. But other than that,
yeah,
do what you want.
Yeah, there you go.
From the chat, we have Grace mm-hmm. asking, which twins are more annoying, the Morris brothers or the Lopez's? Do you want to like count to three and answer at the same time?
Sure.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, Lopez.
Morris. What?
Really?
The Lopez brothers.
Yeah. Like, what's wrong with
them? Just because Robin, tried to swing at Serge?
Yeah. And like, what's fun about Brook Lopez's game? Like,
nothing, but he has like a goofy, he's a goofy vibe. He has a goofy voice. They love Disney World. They love making fun of each other. They have cats. You know, I'm fine with the Lopez brothers. I don't like them, but they're fine. The Morris brothers are legitimately annoying, man.
But they're both, I like both of their game. Like, I don't know. I have more appreciation for their games of the Morris brothers.
Wow.
And the gap between Robin and Brooke is so big that,
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I just like twins in the NBA in general. I like that Marcus and Markieff have kept very similar appearances. So
the tattoos?
Yeah, everything is very similar. I mean, even with Robin and Brooke, you can tell them apart because they're like actively trying to distinguish themselves. Whereas with Marcus and Markieff, I mean, they keep the same appearance. There was one theory one year that was sort of like a fun internet conspiracy where, you know, I think who was it? It was Marcus on the Celtics was like banged up or something like that. And then Markieff was in the crowd like watching.
Yeah.
And then the next game, you know, he suddenly had a great game and they were like, yeah, did they switch bodies or whatever, switch uniforms? I don't believe in that, of course, but, you know, it's fun to think about these things. But, yeah, I think the Morris brothers are definitely more agitated. I mean, they try to fight OG. Listen, if you try to fight Serge, I get it, okay? You know what I mean? Like, Serge, he's looking for it. But, like, with OG, like, come on. How are you going to fight OG, man?
Yeah, but, like, I don't know. Have the Morris brothers ever wrestled in the tunnel before games for a whole year? That was the most annoying thing I've seen.
Mad corny, man. Mad corny. I can't believe this is what Giannis has to do. I can't wait for Giannis to be in the hallway for the Raptors at Scotiabank while Kyle Lowry's, you know, doing his little intro.
Well, Kyle Lowry's still dapping up the ghost of DeMar DeRozan. Come on, man. Anywho, we have Kate on the line. Kate is calling from Toronto to talk Stanley Johnson.
Hello?
Kate, welcome back to the show.
Hey guys, what's going on?
Not too much.
Undefeated in the playoffs.
I heard you guys just talking about the. Yeah, I mean, feels great. You know, one down, 15 to go.
There you go.
That's what I always say.
Yep.
I heard you guys talking about. I have a different topic of conversation, but I heard you talking about the Morris twins. Kind of before I got on here. Did you know that they're so interconnected that they like maintain one bank account together?
Yes. Well, they signed that collective contract together when they were in Phoenix.
Yeah.
What's not to like about these guys?
They signed a bundle deal. They're like,
another, like,
you could save on more, car and house insurance at the same time.
there was like a more in-depth like theory too, that they actually completely switched identities for an entire season, because if you look at their stats from one season to the next, their stats completely switched. Like it was mm-hmm. crazy. Like it's like 100% wholesale switch from one to the other from season to season. And I started thinking about it and I was like, that's actually really smart, because then it raises the value of both of them and then they can collectively make more money together. So, wow. You know what? I've always just wondered what the thought process is and like, what's the process when it goes for them to choose a tattoo? How do they decide collectively where and how they're going to get it, because they have identical tattoos, which is incredibly bizarre, but you know, there you go.
Yeah. I mean,
okay guys, I really, sorry?
No, go ahead.
Yeah, just a real quick one today. I think we all need to take a minute and pay our penance to the one and only Stan God, Stanley Johnson.
I agree. Well, what a legend. Game winner, and then comes out even stronger. I mean, who comes out stronger after a game winner? I mean, that's unheard of, really. But yeah, I mean, we talk about Dame
time.
The
man found his OVO bounce.
Yeah, he did.
Stan time.
I think he was wearing his OVO jersey like, I mean, underneath his Raptors jersey. Yeah.
Do you think he got a text from from Drake, like at like, you know, halftime, like, yeah, man, like you're getting close to your 89 game OVO bounce. Like, just keep up the good work.
It's OVO Nico at best.
OVO.
He got one singular bitmoji.
I mean, the man's actually
OB O'Brien.
He's really starting to look a little bit like his. He's starting to look like his gym rat workout videos. Like he's got, yeah, he's always got the mean ass compilation.
Yep.
He's really starting to come through.
Yeah,
that was fantastic. I'm so happy someone called in to talk about Stanley, because Kate, you always recognize the players that are, you know, on the precipice of stardom, and Stanley's clearly that right now. I mean, look at the talent right now. No, I'm serious. Like, I think next year, Stanley here, hopefully he finds a role for the team, because I just think he needs to find that role.
Yeah.
Because I still believe in the talent
a little bit. I'm serious when I say this. Can you imagine as, like, a team, you know, if you had to start off a game playing, like, offensively, worrying about OG and Anobi's defense, and then OG checks out and the guy that checks in is like got the exact same dimensions and his name is Stanley Johnson. Like the guy is actually great at defense. I mean, they put him on LeBron, the one, you know, playoff series that they made it to on the Pistons. I'm here for Stanley.
He needs to figure out how to play in the Raptors defensive scheme. And I currently, like, the Will led the Stanley Johnson bandwagon late last week, and I was DMing, like, he can't have a role with the ball in his hand so much. There's no way that, like, unless he's leading the bench, and I don't think that's happening, he needs to figure out a way to move out the ball consistently.
The man looks like Chris Middleton going up against Matt Thomas when he's dribbling the ball.
Okay, come on, guys. That's not fair, all right? Do we not see him take it to the rack, beating 3-4 defenders against the Denver Nuggets? Please, respect the Denver Nuggets.
Oh, you're saying it's not – you're saying that Stanley – that's not fair to Stanley Johnson's dribbling skills.
Yes, I agree.
The handle's whatever. It's just –
I said get the Coach Goodwin ball gloves. Look at the instant results, man.
That is fact.
Fantastic.
That part you were right about.
Yeah.
That part you were right about.
Anyway, guys, you're going to need to find somebody new to find suggestions for on a weekly basis.
Oh, don't worry.
Suggest O'Shea's Orlando.
I like it. Very, very topical for this specific moment. So we appreciate it, Kate. Thanks for calling in, as always.
We think you guys have a great one.
All right. Peace.
All right. O'Shea's Orlando, that's pretty good.
O'Shea's Orlando.
Did not think of that one. Let's bang out three more of the comments here from the YouTube chat, and then we'll get to, no longer Stanley suggestions, man. Listen, Stanley, you know, he's clearly busy right now. He's putting in work. You know, we got to change that. That's on us. But first, we have comments. You know, Chris K, y'all need to drop Stanley suggestions this week. And no more disrespect for the young prince. I completely agree. Jason K, what do you think? What do you guys think the team will look like next year? Who's coming back? Who isn't? And who's and are maxing Fred? And are they maxing Fred, I guess?
Fred's not getting the maximum contract.
I don't think Fred's getting the max, but Fred's getting a nice contract because he deserves
it. He's getting a good contract. The max is different.
Yeah, but
it's the maximum amount of money they can pay you.
I think they're going to keep Fred. Okay, guys, I think they're going to keep Fred. I think they know better, too. Sam Love asks, as global ambassador, has Drake ever actually attracted a free agent to Toronto?
Stanley Johnson. Come on.
Max, come on, bro. Look at the recruitment, man. That thing went back multiple years, you know? OVO bounce, you know? Now he's and then, boom, he gets to OVO bounce off the offensive rebound, puts a game winner in against Philly, a hated division rival. Like, come on. You tell me that's not paying off?
Division C, another OVO records integration there.
Look, no one's – okay, here's the thing. No one's going to have that much admiration for Drake to come to Toronto solely for Drake.
Imagine if they did. We would all ridicule them.
Yeah. honestly, I don't even know if I want a player who's that much of a clout chaser if that's what's going on. I think Drake helps. I think the fact that he's associated with the team really helps, because he's like, the number one global streaming artist in the world? Like, What's going on? Is it between him and Taylor Swift folklore? We might need Ashley to unmute her mic to let us know about folklore. But, you know, I mean, like, he's very popular and he's associated with the team. There's only so much he can do. It's not like Drake can make the city of Toronto warmer or make more appetizers come. Well, I mean, honestly, he does make more appetizers come to Toronto too. So, you know what? Honestly, if Drake could get OVO to put the logo on the Raptors jersey, I think that would help a little bit more too. You know, I like the Sun Life logo, you know, whatever. But if you're telling me every Raptors jersey has an OVO logo on it, it would instantly become the number one jersey in the world.
Probably, yeah. It's a good point.
Yeah. I mean, obviously next to Liverpool, of course, now that we're Nike. But, you know, it is what it is.
Okay. Well, what do you want to call the segment formerly known as Stanley Suggestions?
Man, I was fully ready to go with DeJuan's Destinations, you know?
As was I.
But, I mean, O'Shea's Orlando is very tempting. Now, we know O'Shea at least is making these vlogs. I haven't watched the latest episode, but I guess I'm going to right after the show. So, you know, we'll give O'Shea. I mean, he's hurt too, so it's not totally fair. So, DeJuan's Destinations this week, out of respect. I was almost going to give it to Rondé's Recommendations, but I thought Rondé was actually decent in the first half against the Nets. So, no Rondé's Recommendations. DeJuan's Destinations for this week. Josh, you know, where is he, you know?
So this week I have a suggestion for him to keep busy, mm-hmm. you know, knowing that he's probably not going to see many minutes. You know, who knows? This series is getting out of hand pretty quickly for the Nets. But in case he was interested in getting a workout in and staying busy, the NBA has announced that teams are going to be moving into new hotels later this week. Okay. And my suggestion for him this week is to help out, you know, pick up a box. Everybody needs help on moving day. It's a great way to keep busy, to get a workout in.
This man's trying to earn tips. Like, what's going on, man?
You know, it's a great way to meet new players. You know, he may be, you know, at some point needing to link up with guys to get a free agency meeting. So I think it's a great way to start.
This man said this guy needs to be Chairman Mills, man. What's going on?
No, you know, two guys in a truck.
Jeez. Sorry, DeJuan, that's not fair, man. Come on, man. DeJuan's Destination is the first ever one. I can't believe you're telling him to move boxes for other people. No, man, I'm going with watch some Studio Ghibli films. A lot of them are on Netflix. You know, obviously, you know, there's some pretty famous ones. You know, Kiki's Delivery Service, I just recently watched that. Mad Adorable, very heartwarming, you know, story about a young girl who's becoming a witch. And she has a cat named Kiki. Is it Kiki? Maybe Gigi? I forget what the cat's name was. But anyway, whatever. Go watch some Studio Ghibli films. Really heartwarming. And yeah, you know, everyone needs some just a feeling of love, really, and wholesomeness in Orlando. Because I have a feeling that Orlando's not so wholesome, you know. But
trap it out the VPN, trying to get that Canadian Netflix.
Yeah, there you go. So get the VPN. You know what I mean? If you need tips, let me know. That's why I watch all my NBA games. You know, yeah, Beth, you know, one of the questions in the chat was Ethan Sherwood Strauss of The Athletic put out this story about, you know, essentially the theme was, you know, the NBA is too political with BLM and, you know, that's driving fans away, which seems very on brand for someone who is determined to be a contrarian at all costs. But, yeah, I mean, you know, that's part of the issue is just, look, a lot of young viewers are doing stuff like me who, you know, watched Goat D for like a decade before getting a League Pass and a VPN. So, yeah, it's an issue, man.
What's upset me is watching League Pass and having every game blocked out. All of the NBA
games. Game is blocked out. Like, yeah, who is watching Bucks Magic?
I have both the TSN and Sportsnet's packages, but I don't have NBA TV Canada. So they'll put a game on NBA TV Canada. I have literally no way to watch it, despite me paying lots of money every month to have access to these games. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. Why do I need cable? It's just grinds my gears.
It's unbelievable.
So trapping out the VPN, that's
also shout out to the NBA for it. Even during a pandemic, even when there's nothing going on, record levels of unemployment, so people have, I guess, open time to watch TV. Still, nobody watching Magic Bucks. You know what I mean? That's still got to be the NBA TV Network series. And honestly, you know, listen, when you're blacking out games for what I saw a tweet today that Gary Clark was guarding Giannis. Like, bro, come on, man, make that free. Like,
put it on PBS.
Yo, honestly, put it on. Yeah, seriously, man, that should be the Omni One channel. That should be on NBA TV series. That's the Omni One series. We're getting news in Cantonese, and then we're getting Magic Bucks. So, Josh, another fantastic show.
Yeah, this is good.
Any parting thoughts?
Take care of yourselves. Christian mm-hmm. Freeland, congratulations on being the new finance minister. William, you?
Nothing. Clearly, I'm in the mood to play soccer based on this whole outfit that I've got going on
here. Yeah, you're just running out now to play some footy.
You know, I mean, that's what I do in my free time. I just play soccer on the street and kick it against the wall. So
say hello to that guy across the street who's always out on his
deck. Oh, yeah. Smoking. Listen, he's somehow not smoking right now, but if I stay another 5 minutes, he will be. Right. Yeah, thanks everyone for listening. Thanks to KFC for sponsoring the podcast. And yeah, so next week's show, it is going to be next Monday. So we're going to move the dates around only because, you know, it's the playoffs. We need to be flexible with everything. And, you know, the Raptors play Game 4 against the Nets on Sunday at 6:30. So the day after on Monday, you know, obviously a lot of people are predicting a sweep. I still got Nets, you know, winning one game in this whole series. I got to give them some respect. But, you know, if, you know, in the possibility of the series is over, we're going to be back on Monday, August, I don't know what that date is specifically. I guess 24th.
24th.
And we will take your calls at noon on the same place you find us now, the Yahoo Sports Canada YouTube page. So thanks everyone for listening. Thanks to KFC. Thanks to Josh for co-hosting. Thanks to all the callers. And we'll be back next week. Peace.
Peace.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.